Yeah, I guess we had a little bit of a void there. By the way, those of you that the camera thing is working out pretty good. Those of you that haven't been watching the camera that we run all the time, we had some psychic phenomenon last night, which was pretty interesting in the fact that the Omnion, which is that big thing that swings down in the center of the living room, all by itself last night started swinging like a big, huge pendulum, and it's a 50-pound pyramidal device, Pleiadian device that was given to me by Semyasi in 1981. Started swinging about 3 feet across, you know, three-foot swath. It was hanging on a ground wire that's about 8 feet long. And it did this for a half an hour on its own. And it's in the vortex. If you look at my book, you'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, what I want to talk about tonight is depression. And I have to deal with this all the time and with a lot of people. And first of all, I want to define a little bit about what depression is physically in the body, or how it's analyzed in the body physically. Depression has, you know, as far as a psychological effect, when there's a poor transmission of the neurons at the synaptic points in the brain. And it often, and it can be furthermore experienced as a feeling of during the digestive process of eating food, there's a bleeding or bleeding out process that goes on during digestion where the blood is not mixing properly with the digested nutrients. Bottom line is this throws the hormonal structure of the body off, and it becomes pretty damaging. The way that this is treated, there's several different ways that this is treated, but usually it's done through drugs. 50 million people in America suffer physical depression. Two-thirds of them usually are women. And so as a result of the therapies that are out there now, the drug therapies, the problem is with the drug therapies, they have side effects. And what happens is the drug therapies, the treatment is usually such that one drug works for a certain length of time, and then the drug doesn't work anymore. And usually the treatments are playing around with serotonin. It's usually there's a serotonin uptake inhibitor placed in the body, and that's the main form of treatment. Or we have what's called monoamino oxidase, MOA inhibitors. So either one is the way that they go. Normally it's the uptake that they use. There's drugs like Zoloft, Prozac, all these kinds of things. The problem, there's several things wrong with drugs, this kind of drug therapy, in the fact that this alexia situation sets in, meaning that it doesn't work anymore and they switch drugs. And if you talk to a pharmacologist, somebody that's working in one of these drug firms, their comments are kind of cute. You know, they make a lot of money on these drugs, and they say, "Oh, well, I didn't. You know, we don't know what we're doing. We're just moving serotonin around in the brain. You know, we're affecting the uptake and the reuptake." And so, as a result of all this drug therapy, you end up with motor disorders, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, all kinds of other things. So anyway, the real causes of these problems have to do with immune suppression. Your immune system is your consciousness. And if there is some form of immune suppression, your consciousness is going to be affected. And when your consciousness is affected, what's going to happen is it's going to cause physical symptoms and other kinds of symptoms in the body. These symptoms can be incredibly powerful, like in the bipolar situation, where the monoamines in the brain are completely disoriented. These can cause some very powerful disorienting circumstances. Usually in a bipolar disease, you're also dealing with a borderline schizophrenic condition, and you're having to take into consideration another factor, and that is the mission of the soul through the body in this lifetime. Other kinds of things that cause depression are, which result in things like dyspepsia, which is shortness of the breath, have paranoia, claustrophobia. These are all forms of depression. It takes many different forms. It takes many different ways of looking at it. There's many ways to see how it works. But the bottom line is, these are all the kinds of symptoms that people experience, and these are the kinds of things they have to work through. Now, drugs are not going to solve the problem. They're only going to, you know, waylay the program or make it worse or delay it to some other symptom. And eventually, in the end, anyone that takes any kind of a longevity drug program is going to suffer, you know, serious side effects and actually worse physical conditions. Two other areas lead into, because of the outside, you know, first of all, what are immune suppression factors? Well, environment is one. Biological things you put in your body, your what you eat from a child, you know, up till now, how many hot dogs did you have when you were 6 or 7 years old? Like what kind of kitchen chemicals do you use? And basically, what kind of air do you breathe, and what foods do you, you know, what are you eating? These are the kinds of things that normally, what I call, over a period of time, lead to short-term disorders. Now, on top of that, we have another whole scenario here that we need to look at with the human body, and that is hormonal changes. The hormone is looked at as the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. That's one area that we got to look at very, very strongly. Second area we need to look at is the hormonal changes in our lifestyle. In other words, when you're kids are not having sex when they're 10 years old typically, because they're not developed. The testosterone, estrogen levels are not developed yet. They're just too young. It's not happening. Same thing with adolescents. Adolescents make stupid decisions and often commit violent acts because surgical and reasoning faculties aren't working in their brain. Then you get into, from 25 or 30 years old on up, all kinds of other hormonal changes take place. And then in the case of women, if you haven't met your spiritual goals, you have PMS symptoms when you go through change of life in your late 30s, early 40s, or mid 40s, and men also have PMS syndromes with testosterone estrogen balances in their body, and they go into depression. Usually men go through the change of life in their late 40s, early 50s, when they realize they're not bulletproof and invulnerable now. And this shouldn't be, but this is what goes on. On top of that, we have the top of these 7 to 10 year hormonal cycle changes that you have to deal with. And how are you going to deal with them is up to you. And most people don't have proper guidance. They don't have, on top of not having proper guidance of these hormonal changes, they're also putting all kinds of chemicals in their bodies, spraying their counter with something that's not good for them. Some people it's okay, and other people it kills them over a period of time. I was just studying a case today of a man who had a renal and kidney failure. He just suddenly, in a few hours, went from a normal personality to a very strange individual, to a seizure and palpitations, was hauled into the hospital, analyzed for 3 or 4 days. He calmed down while I was there, and 3 or 4 days later, they found it was ethylene glycol poisoning, which was he was working out in his car on a garage changing the radiator fluid, antifreeze, and it caused this huge change in personality, and he almost killed him within a few hours. And it took them to the hospital 7 or 8 days to run blood tests to find out it was ethylene glycol poisoning. It wouldn't have, somebody like me, that wouldn't affect, but somebody else, you never know, because your immune system in each person, which is your consciousness, varies. So then we look, that's the normal changes now. We've talked about environmental, chemical, biochemical changes. Next area to look at is we got a bigger thing. We got a thing called lunar shifts. We're looking at new moon and the full moon. The full moon creates what's called surface tension changes in the body. Surface tension changes in the body, what happens there is that the vibrational energies that your spirit works in, the vibrational energies that your consciousness works in, the vibrational energies that your emotions work in, and the vibrational energies that your mind works through, your brain is thinking, your logic level, all are variable. There's nothing, there's no foundation, there's only balance. None of those things have a foundation. There is no foundation. Because in creation, everything is expanding outward in time faster than the speed of light. Man has limited his expansion because he has looked at the synaptic firing rates of his brain to be something approaching the speed of light in the pure human being, which most people aren't. Christed individuals would be. So anything less than that, in a way, causes depression. Anything less than that, body is trying to reproduce cells at the rate of 90 million per second. And if it cannot, because of some hazardous chemical, or maybe because of the full moon, because you can't process the energy, because a hazardous chemical is holding you back, then depression happens. It throws off the chemistry in the brain. The synapses don't fire at the same rate. Your digestive cycle is upset, blah, blah, blah. Well, then we have, besides the lunar shift, we have the four seasons. You've heard of cabin fever that people experience during certain periods of time. Cabin fever relates to photon energization from the sun, what's called the vitality globules, which are not present in cabin fever because it's gray for long periods of time. And people with astrological signs leading towards sun polarization, because astrological signs lead towards polarization of DNA, which is a crystal. These kinds of things have an effect on your consciousness. So we have the four seasons. Then we have planetary cycles. Planetary cycles occur from the extreme, which is called the Jupiter effect, where Saturn, Neptune, Mars, Venus, all of them line up at one point, and all the energies come through the Earth to the Sun, and usually there's a problem with those planetary cycles. Now, planetary-wise, because most people think in a negative way, most people are depressed. If we have a population of something less than 300 million, and 50 million of those people are in depression, then you can bet the other 250 million are somewhere in between, and they're definitely not stabilized and balanced, and that's just in our country. Then we have what are called stellar cycles. Stellar cycles are what are also related to by science as the precession of the equinox. It takes 26,827.5 years to rotate around the Pleiades, our central spiritual sun. In that period, we go through 2,250-year cycles. And in that cycling period, we have to look at what is going on in consciousness. Because consciousness is a cyclic thing, a cyclic thing. We're coming out of the Piscean Age, which was the age of a soul in getting involved with the resonant frequencies of the DNA structure, the crystal of DNA, allowing a certain consciousness to manifest within the summation body of the DNA individual, meaning the person. So people then, in those days, were believers, and they started believing. Out of beliefs, they wanted to support their beliefs, so they congregated and formed religions. Then they found that their religions had conflict of beliefs, and so they had holy wars. So religion became a product, out of the product of religion became a warlike activity. And the only calm that people got was in their religious circles when they were practicing religion. The religions couldn't coexist because they were missing one common thread, the spirit of unity. Then we came into the Aquarian Age, where we are now. Aquarian Age is the age of the knowers. Here you have to have the speech, the thread of spiritual unity to make everything work. So a long time ago, about 35, 40 years ago, actually, about 40 years ago, I began to see a conflict with all of this. I began to understand, luckily for me, I was educated by the Pleiadians, and I was shown how we could make arrangements, because the human inadequacies were going to be tremendously apparent in our up-and-coming societies. That's why on my Tuesday night show, I run a lot of shows that are made 20, 22, 25 years ago, depicting the future of mankind. And if you knew me as a person, even before that, before I had radio shows, I made earlier depictions. First thing that I realized is we had to start balancing chemistry, biochemistry. And so what I did a long time ago is realize that in studies, by the way, the trace minerals had to be, we had to look at the metabolites in the brain to fix this problem. You had to have metabolites. Molybdenum is one of the rare earths that we find that is lack of in people that are schizophrenic and paranoid and bipolar. So molybdenum, along with several other trace minerals, began to become of interest to me, and I formulated a formula called the Pirillo, which is a trace mineral formula. The body is 5% minerals, and it controls 95% of metabolic functions. Then later on, we decided we had to go further with this, and so I began to study, you know, alternative forms of therapy for a toxic liver, toxic kidney, and electrolyte poisoning on the brain. And I had already discovered from Japan that Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotokoa were incredibly important. So I began to use that in all my formulas, in my vitamin formulas. Later on, I began to use B-complexes and herbs. Herbs, I have electrolytes to balance the brain. But still, once we got the metabolites in the body working with all these different formulations that we made, I then began to realize, well, wait a minute, biochemistry is only the bottom line of this. We can get rid of the drugs in people's systems. And they didn't have so many. In those days, they were taking Valium. That was the drug of choice. Zoloft and a few others. Black beauties, they called them. So then I began to realize that we had to look further up the food chain, the body chain of energy in the body, to what are called electrolytes. And not electrolytes, but precursors of electrolytes. That's when we got into electrical precursing energy. When we got into electrical precursing energies, we began to look at, if you didn't have a scalar balance of energy in the body during its rotationary period around the Pleiades, during the times of the full and the new moon, there were going to be electrical synaptic changes that were going to be out of phase with the norm. In other words, when these changes weren't going to go, the body was going to stabilize in some condition, usually a deficient condition, because these other metabolites weren't there. But finally, when we were able to put the metabolites in people's bodies, we found that there was another variable. And that's when we began to introduce the pyramid energy into the ceiling, into the consciousness. So we introduced the pyridome, which became one of our first products. When we brought the pyridome out, we brought it into a clinic. So I didn't start putting it on people's heads. Another doctor did, Dr. Gary Couture in Newport Beach. And the people that we were using Valium addicts. It was a depression program, an anti-depression program. It was one of the first of its kind in Southern California, and a friend of mine was in charge of it. And he found that putting a gold pyramid, the least expensive thing that we made at the time, and actually it was the beginning of Pyridine. Pyridine started out of treatment of depression, believe it or not, placing it on their heads. Immediately, they didn't need alpha. I mean, they didn't need the Valium. They went into an alpha state. They were relaxed. They functioned again. These were, and by the way, our clients were mostly housewives at the time. Because in the 70s, the biggest clientele, as I said earlier, 2/3 of women are suffering depression. Well, the housewife was the one that came, they were doing something. They were going to clinics to get treatment, to get help. And so this is where we were. We're taking them off of Valium and putting them on pyramids on their head. Later on, I started studying the toxic effects of that, the toxic side effects of what was going on. We found that the pyridome wasn't strong enough. And so in my other shows, in my books, I talk about the development of these things, but we came out with a device called the Fire Dome and later on the Ray Dome. These devices were such that they worked on, later on as we found out, they worked on a scalar wave DNA process that actually took hydrogen in the brain, turned it into water and carried out toxins like no chemical could do. If you look at the way the body works, if you look at the heart, it pumps oxygen up into the brain via a blood vein network. The arterial size of the blood and the veins going up into the brain is about 1/4 inch. Once it reaches the base of the brain, it goes into what's called the circle of Willis. And the circle of Willis distributes the blood all the way through the brain. As people get older, past 20-25, the blood circulation to the brain oxygen flow characteristics starts to be highly degraded. And part of this highly degrading process is fossil fuel inhalation. In other words, breathing exhaust. And so you build up carbon monoxide pockets. These carbon monoxide pockets start breaking down the gray matter and therefore destroying the synaptic transmission ability, and so therefore In those days, they stuffed Valium in. Today, they use Prozac and much more, you know, active bio-cursing products, but none of them are going to produce any oxygen effects. They just deaden that area of the brain, make it, and cause the consciousness to shift to another part of the brain that hasn't been destroyed yet. And when it gets there, you know, then they have to change drugs and get it to move it to another. So each drug moves us around to another part of the brain. And so what we're doing here is manipulating serotonin. What we found is that with the pyramids, when people wore them because of this effect, this Mather effect on the brain, it caused the brain to release all these toxins. So you could take somebody that hadn't smoked 10 years and put one of these more powerful pyramids on their head. Within about 2 or 3 weeks, once they got past the headache syndrome, because it was also detoxing their liver could only handle so much detoxification at one time, their urine would actually smell like an ashtray, and they haven't smoked in 10 years. That's how vivid and how strong nicotine is, and how it can packet itself without the absence of oxygen, store itself in the brain. How many of that doesn't cause depression? And you look at nicotine itself, it looks like nicotinic acid. So I was talking to Dr. Deagle today, and we were talking about how this worked, and we're probably going to come up with a series of tests. Because the FDA is very interested in what we're doing now, because they see an alternative to some of the things we're doing as a possibility for some form of new energy movement. And they're actually, believe it or not, open to this kind of study right now. Then we went on and we developed the nuclear receptor. The nuclear receptor, the other thing that happens when you put all this stress in the brain, the brain is now being shut down. Of course, we're assuming that you didn't start wearing a pyramid to detox the brain. Most people don't know what they are and don't wear them. So what happens is we're looking at this as a progressive problem. And so the progression of it reaches the midbrain, which shuts down the endocrine function. The endocrine function is very critical because now you're going to have huge hormonal imbalances. When you have huge hormonal imbalances, you're going to have digestive problems. You're going to have allergic problems. You're going to have dysentia problems. You're going to have all sorts of different with breathing, all these different kinds of problems. You're going to have water retention. And nobody's going to have a cure for it, because basically if you're not getting the proper amount of electricity in the endocrine system that can metabolize and synthesize these things you're putting into your body. So you've got an alternative here: stop drinking and eating and breathing, and you won't have a problem, but basically you won't have a body. So looking at that situation, we developed the nuclear receptor, which the FDA is also very interested in. The nuclear receptor, we used the gemstones. Gemstones were used for amulets, for healing, as healing processes, for literally millennia, thousands of years. So we added that, but we had to have a host. We had to marry that with a scalar wave, and that's what the nuclear receptor did. So the nuclear receptor with a gemstone, with muscle testing, we could go into a particular area in the body, and we could find a weakness, an area that had gone into non-functional abilities, you know, it had morphed out into nothing, and we could turn that organ back on. The nuclear receptor became a solution to that. But realize you need to be taking your minerals, you need to be taking your vitamins, your electrolytes, you know, and I also define the vitamin as the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. I mean, it possesses light, I'm sorry. The hormone is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. The vitamin is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses light, the seven frequencies. The seven frequencies of light are the seven colors of light, which also make up the seven levels of consciousness. And there are seven endocrine glands in the body that these corresponding different forms of nutritional energy go to. But if the body can't metabolize vitamin A in the liver, which also produces it, then you're going to have visionary problems, not only eye problems, but you're going to have psychic vision problems also. Because down through the central nervous system, these different things are interpreted into the psyche so that the human spirit can work through the human body as a crystalline structure. And your crystalline structure is now getting clouded. So nuclear receptor came along. Then we looked at people like Rice, and we looked at how the National Health Federation was started with a deep polar ray with Fred Hart, Thomas Colson in 1947, but the FDA came in because they didn't want an electronic means of healing arthritis. So we looked at that, and we started building Pyridyn systems. First we came up with a single unit consisting of an irradiator, and the irradiator was a composite of many, many different pyramid structures. And what we did with the irradiator is we were able to produce a very large scalar wave with a tremendous magnitude, a lot of current. We were able to shoot that into the body. The way we got into the body was have somebody, we created a focus grid. And the focus grid was one of these things we call a portamid. So we put somebody inside of a portamid. We let them sleep in it, because when you sleep, you go into rapid eye movement sleep. The serotonin levels drop in your body at that time. The interferon levels go up a little bit. And we can implant the scalar wave into your body. And not only that, we can program the scalar wave to do different things. So on top of the radiator, we created what's called a megorb, and we set the megorb on top of the, or, you know, underneath the radiator, and we would put different crystals, just like we would have in the nuclear receptor, into this device. Then we would raise its potential with a negative ion generator, a pulse Tesla generator, and Rife frequency that into your body, and we call that the self-help system. Then later on, what we did is we went into the quad system. We found that once a person could actually get command of their faculties, and they could use their spiritual energies for some kind of a purpose. Then what we did is we put them out, and they could actually help the planet. They could help another person. They could send healing energy to another person. Now, remember, you have to heal yourself. But the bottom line is, if you don't know how to heal yourself in totality, you cannot heal another. You can only pick up that person's disease and become worse. So we created the quad system that was four radiators. Young people wanted to get into higher people. We now had people like TM of America back in the 70s, late 70s. They wanted to get into the altered state, because once we got the body cleaned up and working, we got completely rid of depression, which we should all be rid of it now in this world as we know it, but it should not be here at all. But realize the outside factions, the higher powers out there that are running our politics, want people. That's why they put up satellites to put down Death Star energies. They send Tesla frequencies that are not healthy to our bodies through ELF. Our systems counteract all that. But for the poor soul out there that doesn't know how to take care of themselves, they're going down. So the people that were getting it, and there were a lot of them getting it, we created what's called a System 3, which is 7 irradiators. And that, we had now had a scalar wave generating station for each chakra in the body. We arranged it in a circle divided by 52 degrees, the angle of the Great Pyramid, which is also the angle of the carbon atom in the body. And we could put people into the altered state, and we could produce what are called siddhis, or normal effects, things that Christ did, like walk on water, levitation, things that we should all be able to do now as part of our society with a longevity rate of at least 500 years. We were able to produce that. We were able to levitate people. And so for a long time, we used, Paradigm used to sell our System 3 as a levitation system. To me, in looking in hindsight, it was a phenomenon at the time, but looking back, it was kind of a stupid advertising thing, but the bottom line was it worked. And then we had a few accidents where people levitated a little bit too high and too far out and got broken arms and legs. So we quit completely, you know, we went away from that form of advertisement and went back to what it is today. And then we came out with a hologram. Then we realized that in our systems technology, that all of these individual things that cause depression and counteract depression were called packets. And so we realized that there was a trail of packets of scalar wave activities. In other words, from having a life of eating cholesterol and bad food to having a heart attack and a transition and a reincarnation of something else later on, we realized that as a packet of energy. And looking into that technology, we began to realize that the whole phenomenon, the whole dance of all of it, called the dance of Shiva, was now a hologram. So that's when we got into what's called the projector technology. With the projector technology, we have very advanced vitamin systems right now that we have in place. There's lots of things that do all, we have antioxidants, we have products now that cause a what's called diffusion of the aura and an auric extension, auric offset, where we can actually go into an environment, absorb radiation, and make it actually function in our body to the benefit of ours, whereas in somebody else's benefit, it would kill them. That's where we are now. So just giving you a background of some of the technology. But you've got to understand what goes wrong. You've got to realize that planetary cycles, lunar cycles, chemical cycles, all of these things have an effect on the body. And of course, in the healing of the liver and all the physical ailments of the body, we use the holothora of herbs. When you start looking at energy management in the body and the real nucleus of the body on a hormonal level, we go right up to the pineal gland of the body. Now, two things happen depending on what you put in your body to the pineal gland. It either increases its production of melatonin or it produces its production of serotonin. Melatonin is an element that promotes physical activity, sexual energy, all those kinds of things. Serotonin promotes spiritual energies in the body. Very important. When the drug companies play around with their different drugs like Zoloft and all these different things that you see on the forefront now, they're managing and they're pushing around serotonin. People take LSD, lysergic dimethoxide, LSD, it displaces the serotonin. It looks like serotonin, but it's not. And so as a result, the spiritual energies come flowing through the conscious part, forefront of the brain, the cerebellum, and the person has a spiritual experience or a freak out if they can't handle it. Some people never recover from some of that because they just got too much. Their psyche, their body systems, and they were too toxic to handle the outcome of what this did. Now, looking at serotonin as a hormone in a child is kind of important. In a child, serotonin is used to throttle down the sensitivity. I remember when I was a kid, if I heard a sound, and you as a grown-up would have heard a sound, you heard it very, very muted. I heard it in all its splendor, all its octaves and harmonics. A honking of a horn was a huge phenomenal expression to me, whereas today it's a beat to you. It's a little annoying. So to protect a child from this huge, overwhelming expression of sound or maybe an emotional confrontation with an adult, serotonin would secrete itself to slow us down, put us in a semi-sleep condition as a child to mute us against the actual impact of something that would appear to be negative to the psychic or the energies of the child. Even a very powerful, harmonious blast of sound would be overwhelming because children's ears are usually way more sensitive than adults. They're not deadened by the chemicals. As you get older in the body, serotonin, now what the serotonin does is it causes the body to go to sleep under stress to the point where you could die. Serotonin is called the death hormone now. And so what happens is you want to slow down the production of serotonin in the body so you can have a much more enriching experience. Because if serotonin runs rampant through the body, what happens is it starts shutting down body functions. In a child, the body functions are so alive, but with vitality, it just throttles them back like a governor or a regulator. But in an adult, and realize that in the DNA chain, the crystalline chain, a child has probably 34 base pairs per turn, whereas an adult has 5 or 6. A child has a very long, beautiful, syndrilical crystal structure, like a big cluster, and an adult has one little old point of crystal energy. So it doesn't say there's a big difference in how the human body works when you look at the body as a crystalline vibrational structure on the DNA level. So one of the things that I have worked with pretty much most of my career with Pyridine in the last 30 years, Pyridine is 31 years old this year, by the way, it's been around a while, got a million or so clients all over the world. Serotonin work has been one of our prime suspects, one of the areas that we work with. I think to me it's incredibly important to understand serotonin and how it works. For example, if someone loses, like somebody's been married for 50 years and they lose their spouse, like Johnny Cash, for example. When his wife died, how long did he last? A few more months. Because heartbreak, people call it heartbreak, but what it is a thalamus hormone reaction, an emotional reaction. He doesn't have the feedback that he had from his wife, in this case, Johnny Cash. So then serotonin starts the shutdown process, starts slowing down the respiratory rate, starts slowing down many, many body functions. And so as a result, the body exits, the soul leaves the body, and you have a mortal coil with nothing in it anymore. The other area that's very important is vasopressin, the next hormone down, which is a hormone of lysine and arginine. By the way, we use a lot of amino acids. I never even got into amino acids. I'm going to cover them tonight. I didn't have enough time. But amino acids are very important in the body, and vasopressin is very important in the body. And one of the biggest antagonists of vasopressin is, which is lysine and arginine, is automobile exhaust. And over a period of time, over a 7-year period, if you're constantly breathing carbon monoxide from the automobiles, the car in front of you or behind you or next to you, what happens is it shuts down the vasopressin activity in the body. So one of the things that we've been very successful with the nuclear receptor and some of the pyramid structures and some of our ionizing equipment is getting rid of the antagonistic effects of carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide poisoning from automobile exhaust. These are the kinds of things that we deal with on a daily basis. And if you want to send emails to me about this or give us a call, our phone number is 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603. And you can also go to fredbellparadigm.com for an email, and go to paradigm.com or Dr. Fred Bell, which will take you there for more information. But we're getting more towards the top of the hour now. I apologize for not having the show, losing 20 minutes of it. It's great that we got Dr. Deagle on board. He and I are going to be doing a lot of things together. Those of you that want to come to my seminar should come. Dr. Deagle is now going to be a major part of it. I'm excited about that. We are actually collaborating now on some scientific devices. We have talked today about you might work on the X1 healing machine with me, which is something that needs to come out to the world. The X1 healing machine is in my book, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. So anyway, Don, are you there?
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.